So our next speaker is Leslie Steinman, and the title of her presentation is Implementing PEARLS, the Program to Encourage Active and Rewarding Lives for Seniors to Older Immigrants, a Pilot Study Using Trained Interpreters.
Thanks everyone for coming. It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm going to be talking about a small project we did implementing PEARLS. PEARLS is a depression care management program that's delivered at home that is designed to really empower frail homebound elders to take control of their lives and better manage their depression. I have no relationships to disclose. So in terms of my presentation, I'll be giving a little background on late-life depression in elders and PEARLS. I'll talk a little bit about the methods of the project, what we found, and then some implications. So increasingly, depression is being recognized as a public health issue. Estimates vary, but it's about 1 in 5 elders have depression. And when you look at more homebound, frail elders and elders in institutions, the numbers are even higher. Depression has a huge impact. It impacts elders' quality of life, their function, other chronic conditions, whether they're managing them, taking their medications, et cetera, and mortality, including suicide. It's often under-recognized. There's a lot of stigma around aging, both with elders and their providers. It's sometimes not seen as an individual illness. It's more seen as a side effect of another chronic condition. And it's also untreated or undertreated in this population. We did a project back in 2005 with the long-term care population in Washington State and found that of the population that was depressed, about a third of them were taking antidepressant treatment and were still showing up as depressed on their annual SES-D. The good news is that effective treatments do exist. Back in 2008, and most recently, actually this year, earlier this year, the Task Force for Community Preventative Services did recognize depression care management as a model that could be used to effectively treat depression in elders. And depression care management is a model that's based on the chronic care model developed by Ed Wagner and folks. It entails actively screening for depression, so really first finding folks who are depressed, and then delivering an evidence-based treatment. In the case of PEARLS, we use problem-solving treatment and behavioral activation, which is increasing physical or social activities or pleasant activities. We have a trained depression care manager that works with clients to deliver the intervention and provide support and education around depression. Depression care management also includes using a validated outcome-based measurement tool. In PEARLS, we use the patient health questionnaire, the 9-item or the PHQ-9, and using that tool over the course of the intervention to really track how the client is doing and make adjustments as appropriate and not just kind of assume, okay, once the intervention's been done, the client's going to do better, which is often what happens with antidepressants just because primary care docs are busy, clients don't show up to all their appointments, and it becomes kind of a challenging thing to manage. So what is PEARLS? PEARLS really teaches clients the skills to better manage their lives. And so it's very client-driven. It's very practical. It's not like a lot of traditional psychotherapies that are much more kind of touchy-feely or more about the past, very here and now. So problem-solving treatment, for those of you who aren't familiar, or PSD, is a 7-step approach for really helping to identify problems in your lives, develop a plan for overcoming them, and then just every time you have a session working towards achieving that goal. It's very practical. It's delivered at home, PEARLS, though we have found that providers are at times delivering PEARLS really wherever the client is most comfortable. This can be maybe at a library, at a community center, but also can be done at home. And it's delivered using existing community services. So when PEARLS was developed back in early 2000 with the Health Promotion Research Center at the University of Washington, where I work, and with our local area agency on aging and senior centers, we really strove to develop a program that people could use who were already serving this frail, homebound, older population. And so area agencies on aging, senior centers, community mental health agencies, things like that. And it's training providers in that agency to do the intervention already. There's great evidence for PEARLS. We've had a couple of randomized controlled trials over the years showing that PEARLS was 3 times as likely to reduce symptoms of depression as usual care, and that usual care at times did include people who were doing other depression treatments. And since then, we've adapted the program to serve adults who are not just older, but all-age adults, adults with major depression. The project was originally developed to serve clients with minor depression or dysthymia, and then adults with epilepsy and co-occurring depression. So through our work providing technical assistance to PEARL sites, we've learned that there's a huge barrier. There's a couple of barriers for implementing PEARLs, but one of the big ones is reaching folks with limited English proficiency or English language learners. So with our local area agency on aging in Seattle, King County, we found that a third of clients speak a language other than English, and there's over 80 languages spoken in the home. And so none of these folks were eligible for PEARLs because at the time, really, we didn't know whether PEARLs could be delivered with a population other than the English speakers, since that's what was originally tested in our randomized control trial. The other kind of barrier was that there's really few counselors or few staff at the agency who speak languages other than English, and so we didn't have a lot of native-speaking counselors available. And so what we decided was we would partner with this local area agency on aging to see, can we do PEARLs using trained interpreters? Because there are other services that the agency provides using interpreters, and so there's a potential for funding down the road. And so we're really asking two questions. Are clients who do PEARLs using an interpreter experiencing similar outcomes? You know, are they getting better in terms of their depression? And then do both the clients and do the interpreters find this model to be acceptable and feasible? Because that was a big question as well. There's not a lot of literature about mental health treatment and interpreters, but there's some really mixed data on how successful it is. So we did this project back in 2009 in March through January 2010. We used a mixed method design, so we did just a real simple kind of pre-post evaluation for the outcomes and then a more interpretive methodology for looking at some of the acceptability and satisfaction findings. It was a small study. We just did 10 clients from our local area agency on aging who were receiving case management services through home and community-based services. And we picked Somali and Russian-speaking elders because those are two of the largest language groups in the Seattle-King County area. And so we wanted to target a fairly large group. They're also two fairly diverse cultural groups, and we were also interested in seeing, you know, whether adaptations need to be made to the model as we delivered it. We did a two-stage recruitment, so we first screened client records to see if they were depressed and if they had adequate cognition. PEARLs does require pretty fairly high cognitive function. And then we did a screening on phone and in person to see if they were eligible and interested in doing the program. In terms of data collection, we looked at standard PEARLs outcome measures such as the PHQ-9, and then we did semi-structured interviews at the end of the sessions to see whether people thought it was acceptable. In terms of training, we had six trained medical interpreters from a local agency that provides a lot of interpretation for hospital and other healthcare services. So three Russian speakers and three Somali speakers, and then our research staff. And the real key here with training was really not just training them on study materials, but on how PEARLs works. Because PEARLs is very client-driven, it was really important that interpreters knew that we really were looking for what the client wanted and not kind of that interpretation that sometimes goes on within, when you bring an interpreter into a session. We had all of our materials translated professionally and back-translated, and then we did some pilot testing and made some edits to make the materials a little bit more appropriate to our communities in the Seattle-King County area. So we screened, pre-screened about 179 people that would be just looking at their records. There were 55 Russians and 124 Somali who we went through the pre-screening process. Quite a few of the Somali population were screened out because of cognitive function issues or other mental health issues. We screened 13 Russian speakers and 18 Somali speakers at home, and then we ended up enrolling our target of 10 from each community. In terms of our participants, they were a mean age of 70, ranging from 54 to 81. Interestingly, the Somali group was young, quite younger, averaging around 66 years old compared to the Russian group at 75. It's about 71% women. The average cognition was a 5.1. This is out of a basic six-item memory cognitive function screen that we use for PEARLs. Clients need to score a 3 or more to get into the study. So this was a fairly cognitively intact population. The Somalis we see had a lower cognitive function, though some of that might be due to the instrument we're using in that population. Fairly different living status with these groups. In the Russian community that we worked with, about a third folks lived alone and the others lived with their spouse, whereas in the Somali community, a large percentage, 3/4, lived with family, but these were generally children or siblings or grandchildren. And all of these folks had multiple chronic conditions in addition to depression. The big ones were hypertension and diabetes and arthritis. In terms of their depression, about 2/3 of folks had major depression at the start of the study. A third had minor depression, and then there were 6% with dysthymia, which is a sort of more smoldering chronic depression. Their average baseline PHQ-9 was a 15.9, which is pretty high. Cutoffs for PHQ-9 is usually between 6 and 10 for minor depression and over 10 for major depression. And about a quarter of the group were taking antidepressants at baseline. In terms of what we found in terms of outcomes, 85% completed the program, so 17 out of the original 20. We had one dropout from each cultural group, and then one Somali participant had to disenroll about halfway through because of health reasons. They were hospitalized. We found fairly similar outcomes as the original PEARLS randomized control trials. So the average final PHQ-9 score was an 8.1, so pretty significant drop from the baseline of 15.9. About three quarters responded to the treatment, which means that they decreased their PHQ-9 by at least 50%. And then 82% met remission, which meant they no longer met criteria for clinical depression. I should say that PEARLS is a 4 to 5 month intervention, so it's delivered in 6 to 8 sessions, starting weekly and then tapering to monthly, so giving the clients an opportunity to practice the skills they're learning. So it's a fairly short intervention to get these kinds of numbers. In terms of acceptability and feasibility, we found on our satisfaction scale, the mean score was 8.2, with 10 being highly satisfied. What we found was, talking to folks, that really access to this program is key. I mean, we were thinking at the start of the study, like, oh, I wonder if the interpreter is going to be okay. But most of these clients receive so few services because of their language barriers that they were just so grateful to have the service and have somebody come to their home to do it. The interpreter model worked fairly well. We found that there was some challenge in some of the Somali clients where, particularly with a female interpreter and a male client, and then there were some tribal disparities where the interpreter and the client would be from different tribes, and so there's a little bit of a disconnect when they first started working together, though we were able to successfully work with most of our clients, as you saw with the 85% completion rate. For the Russian community, it was quite interesting. There was some preference. We asked in one of the survey questions at the end, you know, about whether they might have preferred having a Russian-speaking counselor, you know, someone from their community doing the program. And there was this sense that they actually preferred to have somebody, sort of an English speaker or somebody trained at the university, you know, someone who's an American. They had this kind of stigma of their own community because of privacy issues and then this kind of belief that the American education system is more valuable. So it's kind of like interesting. We did not expect that finding at all. In terms of feasibility, it was great. You know, similar outcomes and then similar when I talk about process, you know, referral and recruitment, that whole process was very similar to working with English-speaking elders. So we were really excited about that. In terms of lesson learned, a lot of this has to do with how depression is thought of in these communities. And this happens also in some English-speaking communities, but really in a lot of other communities, particularly recent immigrant communities. And I should say that the Somali community that we worked with, most folks had immigrated within the last 10, 20 years, generally from war situations. And then with the Russian community, it was also similarly in the last 10 to 20 years, generally because of some persecution in their community. There were many Jewish elders that we worked with in the Russian community. So many people think depression is like equivalent to crazy. And so there's this belief that if you talk about depression, it means you're going to be institutionalized or locked up. And so you really had to work at the beginning and really throughout the program to find terminology that worked better for them and really convince them that we weren't talking about putting them in a home. Interestingly, the Somali community, as opposed to thinking of sadness or being blue, worry was sort of the concept that was thought about, not in an anxiety way, but really more connected to sadness. And so kind of developing the appropriate language was important when working with them. And so really what we found was focusing on quality of life with this community and problem solving and not focusing as much on the psychoeducation around depression at first and doing that kind of later on in the sessions. Using the same interpreter in each session was a blessing. I don't know that this is reality, that you could really do this in the real world, so this is a potential implication. We found that working with faith-based communities, many of our Somali clients were quite religious and had really a more kind of communal worldview. And so this whole notion of using problem-solving treatment to overcome your problems on your own was a pretty foreign concept. And so with many of our Somali clients, we worked more on behavioral activation first and then taught them some of the problem-solving skills in terms of getting more activated as a way to make that work. And then again, I talked about really matching interpreter and gender tribe with Somali clients would be important. So our implications is our preliminary findings suggest this can work. PEARLS can work with interpreters. Our AAA has continued being able to implement PEARLS with Russian clients with some funding. Funding is a huge issue with getting interpreters and getting translated materials. We are working with our other PEARLS providers to compile translated materials for all English language learners, just so that we can share them with other providers who might be working with not just Russian and Somali, but other communities out there. I'd like to thank CDC for funding this project, our study participants, my colleague Sue Bunn, who provided research assistantship at the AAA, Language Connection provided interpreters, and my colleagues Dr. Mark Snowden and Cynthia Sessoms helped with the study. And here's my contact information. If you're happy to answer questions now, but if you have more afterwards, feel free to call or email me. I love talking about this. So, all right. The cost? That is a loaded question. I can give you a range, yes. So in the original study, the estimate for PEARLS was about $600 per client. Since working with providers for the last 5 years and trying to get a handle on costs, we think it's more like $1,300, $1,400 per client. And that's to cover the staff time to deliver the intervention, travel time, because it's a home-based program, and then PEARLS does involve having psychiatric consultation or some clinical consultation throughout the program, and so paying for that time as well. It's quite little compared to how much folks, I mean, if you think of how much other programs cost, and then if you look at the implications for folks who aren't treated, who are then being institutionalized, and the cost of that, it's a bargain. Where are the funds? People use a lot of different funding because, as you know, mental health isn't really well funded out there, and particularly folks with minor depression, there's not public mental health funding for. So in Washington State, they use funding from a voter-approved levy, so a property tax levy for mental health services. They also use a Medicaid waiver funding, which is pretty unique. No other state uses Medicaid waiver funding for something like PEARLS. Other people use university partnerships and education grants. Some people use some AOA funding. There's Title III-D funding for evidence-based prevention programs, and PEARLS is one of those. So people kind of use a variety of different funding depending on where they're at. But I'd be happy to share more, if you're, especially from where your community is, about that. Yeah. Okay.
This was a wonderful study, and I really appreciated it. I'm wondering if, this program has ever been, if they've tried to adapt it for a group context, and B, if it has been used for other sort of minority aging populations, for example, not talking in terms of ethnic minorities, but other sort of high-risk aging populations, for example, like people with HIV.
Okay, great questions. So let's see. In terms of group, we get that asked that question increasingly because of funding. And as far as we know, no one has done it in a group model, though there is a program, the Area Agency on Aging in Iowa has adapted PEARLS to do a group model, and then there's also a program in New York that's doing it, so we're kind of in touch to see how it goes.
Where in New York?
It's in... Yes, I think it's called Embracing Change. It's Alfred, New York, I think, like up near Buffalo that's doing it. Yeah, so upstate New York. I think it's called Embracing Changes, but I can kind of connect you with both these group people if you're interested. Our sense is that it could work. The issue is that PEARLS, since it's so focused on problem-solving treatment and teaching clients skills to manage their lives, we're not sure how that would work in a group because if people have lots of different... Hi there. That's okay. I think you can go around there. There's a door right there. Hello. So we're not sure, how that would work, like if everybody would have to be interested in working on, a sleep issue or how that would work. There's also still so much stigma around depression. And so what actually people have used is they've used groups as sometimes a way to kind of inform, let's say, like a senior housing community about PEARLS and then ask people to kind of contact for one-on-one approaches. So the groups, that might be the way to use groups, is sort of as a way to introduce the concept of PEARLS, but then meet one-on-one. In terms of other high-risk populations, I don't know of anyone doing it with folks with HIV. We do know of folks working in fairly rural areas with pretty, with some illiterate populations. In Appalachia, we know of people doing this with different racial ethnic groups, folks with epilepsy, But it does have the potential to work with a lot of different folks because it is so client-driven. I do think the main issue is cognitive impairment. It would be a challenging program, I think, with folks with dementia or with a more severe cognitive impairment. And so that's kind of the one that we haven't quite figured out how to really meet their needs. Hi. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't know for the Somali or Russian population, but let's say cultural backgrounds where there's not much of a concept of mental illness as opposed to physical illness, or thinking maybe for Vietnamese population, for example, if there's any, if any consideration has been done so far about, you know, where people don't conceive of as a, something separate from just being ill.
Right, right. Well, I think one of the nice things about PEARLS is sort of the client doesn't have to ever actually agree that they have depression, you know, over the course of the project. We, you know, which is important. you know, the patient, for those of you familiar with the PHQ-9 or the 9-item patient health questionnaire, it basically is the 9 items of the 9 potential symptoms that people can have for depression. And most of them are somatic. You know, most of them are that you're not eating or eating too much, or your sleep or your concentration are affected. And so we do more kind of education around that. Like, are these issues for you? And let's do something to change that. And then kind of if it becomes appropriate, we talk a little bit more about sort of just like sneezing is a symptom of a cold, this is a symptom of your depression. But we, you know, it really depends on the client and where they're at and kind of building rapport before we introduce some of those concepts. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.